This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, December 6. Well, wheat markets took some pressure last week as we had a wave of profit taking and just some general concerns across kind of all the markets, including the financials, as Omicron variant has its way across the world, and a lot of uncertainty regarding that. So far it appears that it's more contagious, but not more harmful. So hopefully, you know, we can at least get a handle on the contagion part of it. But when we look at the market reaction, you know, stock market was pretty choppy. Other financial markets also choppy. Got a huge round of selling going on in Bitcoin, so cryptocurrencies are under the gun. So as you get into December, you've got light trading anyway. And you've got some big fundamental issues going on. So it's really moving the markets around quite a bit. And we've also got some weather issues developing in South America that's leading some hedge funds to want to be long corn and soybeans, and that is going to push them into using wheat as the short leg of their spreads. Usually they will be spread in the grain complex. It doesn't really change the overall fundamentals of wheat, other than Canada putting out a report that their wheat production was a bit higher than what the trade was looking for last week. So that added some pressure to the general complex, but it was interesting to note that Minneapolis was not the leader to the downside. In fact, it was down the least, and you would think that if it's a spring wheat-led pressure because of the Stats Canada report, that Minneapolis would have been your weakest, but it wasn't. So for the week, Kansas City was down 43, Minneapolis down 28, Chicago down 31, corn down 1, and soybeans up 14. So both corn and beans started out the week under some pressure, but they bounced back pretty well. Soybeans, of course, putting in a reversal up. Corn almost, but still certainly better than how it looked at the beginning of the week. So that is, I think, a good indication and underscores the perception that wheat is the short leg of some spreads going on. And that also suggests that the hedge funds are taking the weather issues in South America serious, and they want to be long the row crops. The weather in South America, the issue primarily is, most of Argentina, the far southern part of the grain region of Argentina, looks okay. They've had some decent rain. But it's the rest of Argentina up into southern Brazil, which has been lacking rain for a few weeks now. And you're getting into the heart of the growing season as you get into mid-December, and especially through January. La Nina, of course, has been prevalent for a few months now and has been gaining strength. That's a big part of the issues going on with the Australian wheat harvest. They've had far too much rain on the eastern part of Australia. So these are typical weather patterns during La Nina, and Australia's been tracking pretty well with the norm. Argentina has kind of dodged that bullet so far, but again, you've had the last week or two be fairly dry, and the forecasts for the next 2 weeks are quite dry across most of Argentina and southern Brazil. Southern Brazil has been more dry than Argentina even. So the issues there are already starting to have an impact on the crop. So that's why the hedge funds are starting to get more long corn and beans, and they're using wheat as the short leg of the spread. So for wheat, Australia also putting out a production estimate that their production would be higher than what the trade is looking for, higher than USDA, and higher than last year's record crop. So that, of course, certainly was some of the pressure in wheat last week as well. You had both Australia and Canada leaning toward higher wheat crops than originally thought. The problem with Argentina is they can't get it out of the field. They've had way too much rain. And again, like we were just talking about with La Nina, it's still bringing more rain into that region of Queensland and New South Wales primarily. New South Wales grows about a third of the Australian crop, so clearly that's important. And Queensland, while not nearly as big a producer as New South Wales, that's where your hard wheat and high protein wheat comes from. And that's where the bulk of the rain has been. So, you know, you gotta presume that you're not only losing quality, but you're losing production at this point as well, which could easily offset the increase in what the government was looking for, or it's going to be poor quality feed wheat. So it's interesting to note, too, that it's rumored that China was buying Australian wheat, which is surprising because normally they're going to want high-quality wheat to blend off with their low-quality. And two, they're boycotting Australian beef because of a political rift. Then they turn around and buy Australian wheat. It was interesting, just kind of a paradox, if you will. But those are some of the things driving the wheat market. The fundamentals are still fairly bullish, I believe. I do think that, you know, it's tough to fight against the short leg of a spread if funds are serious about getting long corn and beans. That's an initial, a downdraft, if you will, to the wheat space. But I think the fundamentals are still quite bullish. Another bullish factor last week was the Russian government talking again, or the rumors floating around that the government would impose the tariff rate quota for wheat exports. They have not been able to suppress wheat prices domestically. We're still at record high prices for flour, bread, wheat, and yet farmers still don't have the motivation to sell wheat and kind of break that price. A couple reasons for that are they had a much smaller crop than they expected this past season, and they've got plenty of storage space, and they don't quite need the money at this point. But that will break. They're going to have to move it to generate some cash for next year's operating expenses. So that usually happens in March. Here in the U.S., it usually happens in February, which is a big reason why we get that mid to late February sell-off in grains. And for Russia, it's usually about a month later. So we've got to keep that in mind, that, you know, kind of expecting that. But if the government does, in fact, impose the quota system, and they pegged it that it would be at 9 million tons from February through June, the end of the marketing year. When you add that on top of what they've already sold, which is running about 4 million tons below last year, this takes them to a number that is notably below what USDA's projections are. The trade is estimating anywhere from 4 to 5 million tons below what USDA's projection for Russian exports would be, which is a big number. And it takes us into the time of year when buyers are wrapping up old crop sales and expecting that you'll have a decent harvest. So that's, I think, it gets us into the time of year too where the new crop is growing. And if you continue to see dry conditions in the U.S. Southern Plains, I think this just adds fuel to that bullish fire. So there's still a lot of dynamics to play out in this market. The fact that the Russian government is talking about a quota, the Russian export tax continues to push higher. They're clearly concerned about domestic supplies, and they are the world's largest wheat exporter. So if they're going to shut off those exports or try to slow them down, clearly that would be supportive to world price. And if nothing else, sends the market into a flat market. It certainly doesn't put us into a bear market. So those are the things that we're looking, forward to as we work our way through the winter and into the spring. Now, last week, cash prices were lower pretty much across the board, except of all places, Argentina, which of course is in their harvest. We saw their FOB offers go up $11 a ton, which is a big jump for 1 week, and they're sitting at $3.19. For the United States, soft red was down 10 at 350, hard red down 11 at 372, Ukraine was down 10 at 334, Russia was just down 2 at 345. So all the Northern Hemisphere guys were lower, but Argentina, again, during their harvest, their FOB offers are going up. Kind of interesting dynamic there. Over the weekend, Saudi Arabia bought 689,000 tons of wheat for July shipment, so they're expecting new crop on that from a variety of sellers, so most likely most of it coming from the European Union and the Black Sea. But again, this is going to be for July. They're expecting a big new crop. They haven't bought anything for the remainder of the old crop. They're already starting looking at the new crop. Freight rates worldwide look like they're for the most part steady, maybe up a dollar a ton in some areas, but generally speaking, pretty flat for the week. The Russian export tax for wheat is sitting at $84.90. That's up $4.10 over last week. Barley's at $75.10 per ton. That is up 6.30, and corn is at 54.30. That was unchanged on the week. For weather, we talked about this a little bit already, but the forecast does call for more dryness across most of Argentina and Brazil, southern Brazil. The central and northern part of Brazil is actually getting too much rain, if anything. Australia, more rain's on the way for the eastern seaboard, so same old problem there. And, you know, for the U.S. Southern Plains, it looks like we're just looking at more dryness. It's dormancy, it's winter time, so it's not a huge deal. But above normal temperatures will, you know, increase evaporation, but we're not seeing much relief there across much of the southern and central plains. So moving forward, I look for wheat to, you know, the night session is a little bit lower, about down a nickel or so, and down three on corn and beans. Still getting some liquidation in Bitcoin, so, you know, financial markets looking for some stability here, but I would imagine you'd settle into some quiet trade as you get into the last half of December, unless you just see some big fundamental events going on. But that's really going to move the market around even more than what we've already seen, as the volume will dry up. But I do think wheat has one more leg up in it. My guess is you'll probably settle in here, chop around in more of a sideways pattern, get another wave of selling from the farmer the first week or two of January, and then work our way up in early February. Most likely that'll be your high for winter wheat. For spring wheat, I think that's early May is what we're looking for. And then if weather, you know, stays dry and in the southern and central plains of the U.S., obviously that would be supportive for wheat. But we just can't assume that that's going to happen. But for now, I look for the markets to stabilize here. I've got a crop report out on Thursday. USDA is expected to probably lower exports for U.S. wheat and soybeans. And that might add some kind of a negative pressure. But I think market will probably be flat until we get that report behind us. And so I do think, you know, buying the breaks here is a place to be. And I think we have one more good leg up here in this market that should take out the highs from a couple weeks ago. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.